would you say if I said that I could bring him back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might wanna stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
Tonight when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
And here we are. This is John Forward on St. John Forward Radio. I was hoping to take a little bit of a pee break before we got started, but we arrived here with not a moment to lose, so my bladder is full. I don't know if you can tell that by the sound of my voice or not. Some of you with keen ears, you may have noticed, but I just wanted to confirm that for you so that you're not up all night tossing and turning, wondering, did I hear a little yellow in John's voice tonight? You definitely have. So, this is the show. We're on local FM every Monday from 9 o'clock till 10 o'clock Atlantic time, or you can listen to it live on the radio 107.3. You can listen to it live on localfm.ca, and you can hear it on johnforward.com in the podcast section sometime a couple of days after that, depending on when I have time to do it. No therapy update this week. I didn't do any of my homework. I didn't go to, the brain doctor this week, so nothing to report there, but just as good. There was just a show at the R Bar this weekend, at Saturday, No Jokes Barred. It was a good time. I wasn't expecting much of a turnout because of the snow. Traditionally, those are poorly attended shows, but we had a good crowd. One of the new guys, brought a table full of people, and that's always appreciated. Hopefully they keep coming back. And when I got there, it was a little bit stressful. I got there. The show starts at 9. I have them advertised as starting as 8:30. I got there at 10 to 8. And there was a packed house at the R Bar, and there was balloons and streamers and birthday cake. It was somebody's 50th birthday party, and they were all having a great time singing karaoke at the R Bar. They were slow dancing to a couple of romantic tunes. You can see the picture on my Instagram, johnforward.com. It's all spelled out as my Instagram name. You can see that there. But and shortly after I arrived at 10 to 8, the karaoke lady announced on the stage that since they're having so much fun, they're supposed to stop at 8. They're going to go extra long so we can keep the fun going. And then I went up to the owner. I was like, how long is this going to go? And he said he didn't know, like 10, 15 minutes. And then I could see them. The karaoke lady had noticed that I had arrived. I don't think they ever know when a show is going to break out. It's the third Saturday every month, but I don't think anybody's really keeping track of it. So I just show up the third Saturday of the month and like, oh yeah, well, okay. And I could see karaoke lady talking to the owner and kind of pointing in my direction. And then both of them came over and asked me when the show was. And I said, well, I need to start setting up at 8:30 at the latest, which is when I put on the scare away the regulars music that I like to put on just as a buffer. I've had arguments. There's a shaved head, meaty karaoke man that always argues with me whenever he's on first. And he like that guy, he wants to push it to the limit with the karaoke. His philosophy is, if your show starts at 9, then surely the last karaoke song can end at 8:59 and we'll be okay. Well, that would be a good seamless transition right from karaoke into the comedy show. And I can't come right out and explain, like, no, I need the half hour buffer. And they say, like, every time that it happens, everybody's complaining, like, oh, we are having a good time. You see all these people that are here for karaoke? They're not here for your weird, angry music. And I want to say, I know, that's the point. I'm trying to ignore you out the door. And there's another bar owned by the same person that you can literally see out the window of the R Bar. that karaoke continues at, so I just try to gently shuffle the undesirables off there so the other undesirables can come in to watch the comedy show. And so they shut it down at 8 o'clock, not 8 o'clock, at 8:30, and I went up and I put on a Norwegian, I think they're Norwegian, some sort of Eastern country, Shining, their album Black Jazz. It's a combination of black metal and jazz, which is what everyone that goes to the R Bar wants to hear. And it shuffled up when it was first announced at about 8 o'clock that they were going to end at 8:30, because the comics are coming, is what the karaoke lady said. I could hear the rumblings in the crowd. Some of the old ladies, they were like, "Oh, that sounds like fun. I like comedy." And then when I heard they suck, and she probably heard right. I don't think they'd enjoy it. When I started to set up, I went up and I said, "There's a comedy show going on, and we would love to have you stay, but it would just break my heart if you guys had a bad time." And traditionally, the people that are here for karaoke usually do have a bad time at the comedy show, but we don't want that bad time to happen to you. So there's karaoke down the road if you want to do that, but we'd love to have you come if you're willing to laugh, and otherwise shut the F up. That got a little bit of a laugh. They weren't expecting an F-bomb, and I told them that that was just the beginning for No Jokes Barred comedy. And the old ladies left. There were some older men that I'm not sure were part of the birthday party, but they were like, they were pretty hardy gents, and they were going to stick around and see what it was all about. They lasted through my introduction and the first guy's set before they wisely chose to leave. And come back at 11 for more karaoke action at the R Bar. So that was my Saturday night. Did I paint the picture for you, Ryan? Do you feel like you were there?
Is my mic on?
Yes.
All right. Yeah, you did. I love the... I just have to reposition myself because you were hidden by the mic.
This was happening. Yeah.
All right. So the gory details behind the comedy show is actually pretty fascinating.
Well, that's the beauty of the R Bar. It's there's just chaos every time, and you never know what's going to happen. It's not always the polished experience, but
I'm also pretty intrigued by these people who apparently are running split shifts at the R Bar.
It's a separate person running the karaoke before and afterwards.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they have different karaoke hosts that people pay attention, like they go to the certain one that's hosted by this person.
Wow.
They've got a schedule up on the wall at the R Bar of who's doing karaoke on each night. It never says the comedy show up on the schedule. When I think of it, I print out some posters and put like three of them up on the walls in there so that maybe somebody will stumble into one. But
do I have to make love to the mic like you are? Or is this
know.
Okay?
We'll put on the cans and you can hear for yourself.
Yeah, good call.
But right. We're going to take a break, though, and we'll get back. This is Ryan McIntyre here on St. John Forward Radio. Before we get into all that, I'll play an example of some Scare Away the Regulars music that I put on before the R Bar shows to filter out the regulars. This is Fisheye by Shining from Black Jazz on St. John Forward Radio. Fisheye by Shining. It's what every karaoke fan wants to hear when they go to the R Bar. I'm joined here. This is I was just telling Ryan here that I had a review this afternoon. I was supposed to say my name and what the show is more often. So John Forward is my name. St. John Forward Radio is my game on local FM 107.3.
I don't know why you don't do that more often, John. It's so natural.
It sure is.
It comes so naturally.
It's just,
to you.
I don't want to give off too much charisma on this show and ruin people's earphones or something.
Oh, fair enough. And you got to save it for the paying crowd too, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. The meager salary that they pay me here, it's only got like 50s on it. So there's no point in even trying. I'm here with Ryan McIntyre. Who has sort of technically been on the show before. Your voice has come up in the H to the C Classics, probably. I think just so far in the intro, where the back and forth one over the Queens of the Stone Age riff.
I was on the Halloween episode.
Oh, yes, indeed. You were in the milk bag of Cthulhu. Co-founder of the Manitoba milk bag in general.
Among several other patents.
How high up is that on your resume? Manitoba milk creator, Manitoba milk bag.
That's pretty high up there. I mean, I feel like a lot of my examples during a job interview end up leading back to the Manitoba milk bag. So I like to present that just like front and center. That way we start there, and
it's innovative. And
yeah, as I lead into it throughout the interview, it's already been established. I've explained what it was and that sort of thing. So they're not surprised when I start talking about it.
Yeah, I know. And sometimes the worst thing is it's definitely a job getter to bring up. I've used it myself. And the sad thing is when you go in for the interview, you're kind of interviewing them too, and you don't really want the job. But when they find out about the Manitoba milk bag, they just won't take no for an answer, and they keep adding more and more money to the offer, and more and more vacation days. And
nothing turns me off more than the reek of desperation.
Yeah, I know. It looks really bad on you employers, so shape up.
For God's sakes.
So that was an example of the old school H to the C improv skills that people remember. We just created a whole scene there. Yes, and
all the way, baby.
So, yeah, I don't know. What's your deal?
Oh, man. I just like to, I just like to pound 40s and get laid.
Yeah, that's most of us these days. You know how it is.
Yeah, I used to be, like, a family man, and, you know, I had, like, a job with a tie and stuff.
Yeah, total sellout.
But, you know, material. Like, everybody goes through that phase in their early 20s.
Yeah.
Now I'm keeping it real.
Yeah. What did you do with that tie?
The tie?
Yeah.
I wear it on my head sometimes.
Oh, like sideways or behind, rat tail style and back? That's what I like.
Always. Tie. Never in front. For one thing, it blocks your vision, but also, like,
it's dangerous.
And if you wear it in front, like, it's too close to the actual way that you're supposed to wear a tie, you know, like, front and center, even though it is a little high. I like to be irreverent, so...
Yeah, and, well, the one time I tried wearing the tie over my head hanging down in the front, I ran into some Misfits fans on the streets, and they were really confused, and they thought maybe I was making fun of them somehow, instead of having, like, I think the devil lock hairstyle where it hangs down on your face. Mm-hmm. I replaced it with a tie, and they thought that I was maybe saying, hey, kiddos, grow up. But that's not what I meant. It's just, I'm tired of those kind of misconstruations.
I know.
Of my tie wear.
And them, of all people, to judge you. It's exactly. So unfair. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, the tie on the head is the most punk rock thing that you can do. They should have bowed down and kissed my feet.
Yeah. I use all my old... all my old cufflinks as earrings for where I had the gauges in my ears. Mm-hmm. When I take those out, I sometimes put cufflinks in.
Do you ever link your cuff to your earlobe?
Yep, I do. Sometimes. Mostly only during sex, but sometimes I do it, you know, for sexual reasons, and I shower up and I forget it's there.
Yeah, I do the same thing. It's kind of where you want to make the experience that much more enjoyable by withholding something. So without the use of your hands, you just kind of have to ride and steer with your pelvis, and there's no groping at all. And sometimes depending on what it is, I've tried handcuffs, I've tried just binding the hands, but you always want to go grab those boobs. But if your wrists are attached to your earlobe, it's a little bit more of negative feedback if you try to go for it.
And it's good to, like, attach them somewhere where there's going to be an element of pain. Hmm. So that you punish yourself a little bit. I don't know. That's how I like it anyway.
Yeah, well, and yeah, if you're losing your business down there a little bit, you just give it a little bit of a tug, and it just gets the blood flowing and
toot, toot.
Makes everybody stand to attention and notice that there's business happening right
exactly.
now.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, you just can't pull too hard or else you're going to have, like, an ejection.
Yeah, well, it depends. Like, if you're in one of those moments where you're just really close and the only thing that you can do to just go across home plate is to just tear your earlobe off, then you've got that option. I've never had to use it, but it's comforting to know that it's there.
If you ever do go there, like, the whole tear your earlobe off route,
yeah,
it's important to remember these two words. Gently, Bentley. You want to rip it out, but you want to go into that motion very gently. Because pain management, you're really close to the line there where it's going to stop.
Yeah, you don't want to be a premature earlobe ripper. You want to feel it. You want to do it slow so that you can feel every millimeter of the rip. If you just do it all at once, you're really doing yourself a disservice.
I did that once, and it was really embarrassing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can only imagine. I was gonna. I forgot that I'd already established that I hadn't done it yet, so I was going to say
this conversation has gotten me lost quite a few times. I've been in the weeds a number of times in the past 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah, I have to say. So I guess that's a good time to, if anyone has any advice for like earlobes or just any just sexual maneuvers in general, you can give us a call at 648-5925 here on St. John Forward Radio. But before we get to that, let's take a request from our guest. Do you have a song in mind that you want me to play?
Yeah, you loaded that one up, the Nick Lowe one, did you?
I did, but I was going to pretend that this was a spontaneous thing.
Oh, okay.
You ruined it.
Oh, John, I do. I do have a request. I was actually, do you think you could get a hold of a copy right now of Christmas at the Airport by Nick Lowe?
Oh, okay. That's a different one than the one that we had selected earlier. But just to go with this in the moment thing, I think that's exactly what we're going to do. Because this is the last show before Christmas. So I guess this is going to be a default. This is the Christmas episode.
Yeah, so this is from an album called Quality Street. And it's pretty, like, amazing album in general. It's not just like a good Christmas album, it's a good album. This song's kind of melancholy. It's literally about Christmas at the airport and kind of like a little bit more on the depressing side for a Christmas song, which are always my favorites. My all-time favorite Christmas time is Fairy Tale of New York by the Pogues, but I like the Billy Bragg version best.
I was not expecting the phrase "it's more than just a good Christmas song" to ever have been said on this show, but
it's weird that he made a Christmas album. It's weird that he created a bunch of original tracks for it, like, you know, just your typical Christmas album standards.
Yeah,
anyway,
well, let's roll it.
Outside the taxi window, on the way to catch my flight, I notice snowflakes playing in the ever-failing light. When he dropped me at departures, it was really coming down, deep and crisp and even. It settled on the ground, it looks like Christmas. Christmas at the airport. All the planes are grounded and the fog is rolling in. It looks like Christmas, Christmas at the airport this year. Doors are locked and bolted, let the festivities begin. The terminal was seething without much Christmas cheer, so I found an empty closet and bedded down in there. When I awoke much later, I was quite alone. Check-in was deserted, everyone had gone. It looks like Christmas, Christmas at the airport. I took a set of x-rays, they came out rather well. It looks like Christmas, Christmas
at the airport this year. I'm doing Santa's sleigh ride on the baggage carousel.
Passengers are advised that oversized items such as buggies,
at the airport, I should be at the table with all my kith and kin. It looks like Christmas, Christmas at the airport this year. Don't save me any turkey, I found a burger in a bin.
We're back here on St. John Forward Radio. I was going to do this first.
This is Local 107.3.
But then I decided it would be better to do it after I start. just a little bit of back and forth there with me and the computer. I'm here with Ryan McIntyre, just getting his back scratched on the door frame.
Oh my God, it's still itchy.
You need to get a back scratcher.
It's just in that, like, yeah, you're right, because it's just in that, like, area that you can't kind of reach.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I definitely have scratched my back on whatever. I've got a nice sharp windowsill that has a good corner at home in the back hallway. That's always good for a back scratch.
Oh, I'm reaching it, Trent. I'm reaching it. Ugh, I don't know. That's still itchy.
You must be. It's like my cat, Tachikoma. There's just, he's got a certain radius where he can still reach, but like right above the tail, he can't get that far anymore. So It's all matted, and if he's itchy, he just rolls around on the floor. We've got click flooring, so it's not the best surface for a back scratch.
No, poor Tachi.
Just gives up. Ugh, I guess I'm gonna be itchy now. When do I get crunchies? So what's going on in your with your cats? I don't even know what you have anymore.
We have one cat and one dog.
Right.
We think the cat's going blind, maybe, or senile, one or the other.
Not into your magic tricks anymore?
No. No, she's not following the cards like she used to. No, she just like starts howling at night. It's kind of weird. The vet told us probably senility, like going senile. And then one of our friends the other day was over, who's like this like animal whisperer. Like, she's amazing with every animal that I've ever seen her around. Grew up with horses and that kind of thing. She took one look at Kat and she said, she's going blind. So, and then we looked at her eyes, we're like, oh, they are starting to look a little milky.
Yeah.
Well, so that would explain howling at night, I think.
It would. Is there lots of bumping into walls?
No.
It's Gus, right?
Yeah. And she was following me around last night. Like, she had perfect awareness of, like, the bar and stuff like that.
She's just gotten her daredevil powers.
Could be.
Smell and hear that much better now.
Could be. But otherwise, they're both healthy and good. Paddington's, like, more energetic than ever with the new house and stuff. Happy and healthy.
Yeah. I don't have anywhere else to go with this conversation.
I didn't think you did. It didn't seem like you.
Yeah. No, I don't know. That was Pet Talk. St. John Forward Radio.
It's too bad this wasn't the old days and we weren't doing it live, because you could add like a little Pet Talk jingle to the beginning there.
We could.
Yeah.
Well, we could come up with one right now. What would it sound like if we were brainstorming right now? What would the Pet Talk?
I think it would be like
bumper be.
Petok. I think that's how it would end.
Okay.
And then, like, maybe it
we should have some cat and dog sounds.
I was just going to say, like, there'd be a couple lines before that, but interspersed throughout the lines would be just, like, meows and barks picking up the beats like Jingle Cats style.
Yeah, that's good. Has there been a hip hop cat meow? Actually, Run the Jewels did a remix of their album using cat sounds.
I did not know that.
that's something that we need to bring up. I think it's readily available. What's it called? Meow the Jewels is the album.
Well, it has to be.
Yeah, I think I was going to play something else, but we're going to take a. What? I don't know. Can you say something so I can type?
Well, this is another classic H to the C interlude where we're taking the scenic route around somewhere. And now I'm just rambling because I also had nothing and was not prepared for this. But, John, you pulled that up pretty quick.
Oh, yeah. Lightning fast on the keyboard.
See, back in the day, there would have been a little dead air. For sure.
There would have been. There also would have been a 25-minute long pack of songs for us to go into the parking lot for undisclosed reasons. But we're going to get through the whole hour without having to leave the building.
What?
Full disclosure, I did leave after the first segment to go pee.
To be fair, though, back in the day, that internet search that you just did probably would have taken 10 minutes.
Yeah, for sure. So, I don't know if this is the best song on the album. It's the top result on Google, but I'm going to see Run the Jewels in February. I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, that's very exciting.
This is Meowerly from Meow the Jewels.
I really cannot wait to hear this.
It be feeling like the life that I'm living, man, I don't control. Every day I'm in a fight for my soul. Could it be that my medicine's the evidence for kids to stop and frisk me when they roll around on patrol? And ask why you're here. I just tell them cause it is what it is. I live here and that what it is. Each time you got a dime, I say, man, I'm trying to smoke and chill. Please don't lock me up in front of my kid. And in front of my wife, man, I ain't got a gun and a knife. You do this and you ruin my life. And I apologize if it seems like I got out of line, sir, cause I respect the badge and the gun. And I pray the day ain't the day that you drag me away right in front of my beautiful son. And you still put my hands in cup, put me in the truck when my woman scream said shut up. With a camouflage on, saw the copper pull a gun and put it on my gorgeous queen. As I peered out the window, I could see my other kinfolk and hear my little boys scream. As he ran toward the copper, begging not to hurt his mama, cause he had her face down on the ground. And I'd be much too weak to ever speak what I seen, but my life changed with that. Life that I live a man, I don't control. Cause every jam in a fight for my soul. All hands below, I seize in a rickety boat. Small holes for the kid my coat. You want cast a hope, no class, matter of fact, get both. Go without, get turned to ghosts. You know that's the law. Deal done by the shake of claws. It ain't a game or the shit don't pause. And I find you odd, so convinced in the truth of y'all that the true truth's truly gone. And yes, there's a day. Anytime a man say there's not, then you know that he lost the plot. What can I say? Truth, truth, when denied or not. Like a true cruise ride the clock. Fair enough, the way that the beat bump do sound tough. I made it in the dark like Civil War surgery. Woke up in the same air you huff early. By 12 o'clock, the whole earth felt dirty. Street lamps stare when you walk, watch the birdie. Then watch you walk to the store there, recording. Didn't record cop when he shot, no warning. Heard it go pop, might have been 2 blocks. Heard a kid plus pop, watch cop make girl bleed. Go to home, go to sleep, up again early.
Thank you.
back here with some Meow of the Jewels on St. John Forward Radio. You didn't find anything?
No, not yet. It's kind of weird because there's been like a cleansing, and now all of the albums in there are like modern things that we grew up with, and they don't. It doesn't seem like any of them are fitting the bill.
We've got some local stuff in the box here. Should we make a careful selection, or should we just that room still? There's a bunch of junk in there, but the old room is still has stuff.
If the classic old weird stuff.
You can't really move around. You'd have to just go in and grab something.
Okay, but this is maybe probably an off mic conversation, but yeah, I'll go check in that room after the next break.
Yeah, so a very special H to the C thing coming up later, but I guess. To get to it now, I guess this will give us some time to pick out something. We might as well play the Junkies Christmas.
Oh, yeah. For now. Perfect. Okay.
And, yeah, let's do that. Since this is technically the Christmas episode, let me just cue it up here. 1 second. Where is it? All right. We're going to hear the Junkies Christmas by William S. Burroughs with the Disposable Heroes of Hypocrisy.
It was Christmas Day, and Daddy the car wiper hit the street junk, sick and broke, after 72 hours in a precinct cell. It was a clear, bright day, but there was no warmth in the sun. Daddy shivered with an inner cold. He turned up the collar of his worn, greasy black overcoat. This beat Benny wouldn't pawn for a deuce, he thought. It was in the West 90s. A long block of brownstone rooming houses. Here and there a holly wreath in a clean black window. Danny's senses registered everything sharp and clear with the painful intensity of junk sickness. The light hurt his dilated eyes. He walked past a car, darting his pale blue eyes sideways in quick appraisal. There was a package on the seat, and one of the ventilator windows was unlocked. Danny walked on 10 feet, no one in sight. He snapped his fingers and went through a pantomime of remembering something and wheeled around. No one. Bad setup, he decided. The street being empty like this, I stand out conspicuous. Gotta make it fast. He reached for the ventilator window. A door opened behind him. Daddy whipped out a rag and began polishing the car windows. He could feel the man standing behind him. What are you doing? Danny turned as if surprised. Oh, just thought your car windows needed polishing, mister. The man had a frog face and a deep south accent. He was wearing a camel's hair overcoat. My car don't need polishing, nothing stole out of it neither. Danny slid sideways, the man grabbed for him. I wasn't looking to steal nothing, mister. I'm from the South, too, Florida. Goddamn sneaking thief. Danny walked away fast and turned a corner. Better get out of the neighborhood. That hick is likely to call the law. He walked 15 blocks, sweat running down his body. There was a raw ache in his lungs. His lips drew back off his yellow teeth in a snarl of desperation. I gotta score somehow, if I had some decent clothes. Then he saw a suitcase standing in a doorway. Good leather. He stopped and pretended to look for a cigarette. Funny, he thought. No one around. Inside, maybe, phoning for a cab. The corner was only a few houses away. Danny took a deep breath and picked up the suitcase. He made the corner, another block, another corner. The case was heavy. I got a score all right, he thought. Maybe enough for a 16th in a room. Danny shivered and twitched, feeling a warm room and heroin emptying into his vein. Let's have a quick look. He stepped into Morningside Park. No one around. Jesus, I never saw the town this empty. He opened the suitcase. Two long packages in brown wrapping paper. He took one out, it felt like meat. He tore the package open at one end, revealing a woman's naked foot. The toenails were painted with purple-red polish. He dropped the leg with a sneer of disgust. "Holy Jesus," he exclaimed. "The routines people put down these days. Legs! Well, I got a case anyway." He dumped the other leg out. No bloodstains. He snapped the case shut and walked away. "Legs," he muttered. He found the buyer sitting at a table in Harrow's cafeteria. "Thought you might be taking the day off," Danny said, putting the case down. The buyer shook his head sadly. "I got nobody, so what's Christmas to me?" His eyes traveled over the case, poking, testing, looking for flaws. What was in it? Nothing. "What's the matter? I don't pay enough." "I tell you, there wasn't nothing in it." "Okay, so somebody travels with an empty suitcase." "Okay." He held up three fingers. "For Christ's sake, Gimpy, give me a nickel." "You got somebody else. Why don't he give you a nickel?" "It's like I say, the case was empty." Gimpy kicked at the case disparagingly. "It's all nicked up and kind of dirty looking." He sniffed suspiciously. "How come it stink like that? Mexican leather?" "So, am I in the leather business?" Gimpy shrugged. "Could be." He pulled out a roll of bills and peeled off three ones, dropping them on the table behind the napkin dispenser. "You want?" "Okay." Danny picked up the money. "You see George the Greek?" he asked. "Where are you, Ben? He got busted 2 days ago." "Oh, that's bad." Danny walked out. "Now where can I score?" he thought. George the Greek had lasted so long, Danny thought of him as permanent. It was good age, too, and no short counts. Danny went up to 103rd and Broadway. Nobody in Harrow, nobody in the Automat. "Yeah," he snarled, "all the pushers off on the nod someplace. What they care about anybody else? So long as they get it in the vein, what they care about a sick junkie?" Wiped his nose with one finger, looking around furtively. There was no one he knew in the 23rd Street Thompsons. Jeez, he thought, where is everybody? He clutched his coat collar together with one hand, looking up and down the street. "There's Joey from Brooklyn. I'd know that hat anywhere. Joey, hey, Joey." Joey was walking away with his back to Danny. He turned around. His face was sunken, skull-like. The gray eyes glittered under a greasy gray felt hat. Joey was sniffing at regular intervals. His eyes were watering. No use asking him, Danny thought. They looked at each other with the hatred of disappointment. "Guess you heard about George the Greek," Danny said. "Yeah, I heard. You been up to 103rd? "Yeah, I just came from there. Nobody around." "Nobody around any place," Joey said. "I can't even score for goop balls." "Well, Merry Christmas, Joey. See ya." "Yeah, see ya." Danny was walking fast. He had remembered a croaker on 18th Street. Of course, the croaker had told him not to come back. Still, it was worth trying. Brownstone house with a card in the window. P.H. Zuniga, M.D. Danny rang the bell. He heard slow steps. The door opened and the doctor looked at Danny with bloodshot brown eyes. He said nothing. He just leaned there looking at Danny. Goddamn alcoholic, Danny thought. He smiled. "Merry Christmas, doctor." Doctor did not reply. "You remember me, doctor." Danny tried to edge past the doctor into the house. "I'm sorry to trouble you on Christmas Day, but I've suffered another attack." "Attack?" "Yes, facial neuralgia." Danny twisted one side of his face into a horrible grimace. The doctor recoiled slightly and Danny pushed into the dark hallway. Better shut the door, you'll be catching cold, he said jovially, shoving the door shut. The doctor looked at him, his face focusing visibly. I can't give you a prescription, he said. But doctor, this is a legitimate condition, an emergency, you understand. No prescription impossible, it's against the law. You took an oath, doctor, I'm in agony. Daddy's voice shot up to a hysterical grating whine. The doctor winced and passed a hand over his forehead. Let me think. I can give you 1/4 grain tablet. That's all I have in the house. But doctor, 1/4 G. The doctor stopped him. If your condition is legitimate, you will not need more. If it isn't, I don't want anything to do with you. Wait right here. The doctor weaved down the hall, leaving a wake of alcoholic breath. He came back and dropped a tablet into Danny's hand. Danny wrapped the tablet in a piece of paper and tucked it away. There is no charge. The doctor put his hand on the doorknob. And now, my dear, but doctor, can't you inject the medication? No, you will obtain longer relief in using orally. Please not to return. The doctor opened the door. Well, this will take the edge off, and I still have money to put down on a room, Danny thought. Danny put down $2 on a $6 a week room in the West 40s, where he knew the landlord. He bolted the door and put his spoon, needle, and dropper on a table by the bed. He dropped the tablet in the spoon and covered it with a dropper full of water. He held a match under the spoon until the tablet dissolved. He tore a strip of paper, wet it, and wrapped it around the end of the dropper, fitting the needle over the wet paper to make an airtight connection. He dropped the piece of lint from his pocket into the spoon and sucked the liquid into the dropper through the needle, holding the needle in the lint to take up the last drop. Danny's hands trembled with excitement and his breath was quick. With a shot in front of him, his defenses gave way and junk sickness flooded his body. His legs began to twitch and ache. Cramp stirred in his stomach. Tears ran down his face from his smarting, burning eyes. He wrapped a handkerchief around his right arm, holding the end in his teeth. He tucked the handkerchief in and began rubbing his arm to bring out a vein. Guess I can hit that one, he thought, running one finger along a vein. He picked up the dropper in his left hand. Danny heard a groan from the next room. He frowned with annoyance. Another groan. He could not help listening. He walked across the room, the dropper in his hand, and inclined his ear to the wall. The groans were coming at regular intervals, a horrible, inhuman sound pushed out from the stomach. Danny listened for a full minute. He returned to the bed and sat down. Why don't someone call a doctor, he thought indignantly. It's a bring down. He straightened his arm and poised the needle. He tilted his head, listening again. Oh, for Christ's sake. He tore off the handkerchief and placed the dropper in a water glass, which he hid behind the wastebasket. He stepped into the hall and knocked on the door of the next room. There was no answer. The groans continued. Danny tried the door. It was open. The shade was up and the room was full of light. He had expected an old person somehow, but the man on the bed was very young, 18 or 20, fully clothed and doubled up with his hands clasped across his stomach. What's wrong, kid? Danny asked. The boy looked at him, his eyes blank with pain. Finally he got out one word. Kidneys. Kidney stones, Danny smiled. I don't mean it's funny, kid, it's just... I faked it so many times, never saw the real thing before. I'll call an ambulance. The boy bit his lip. Won't come. Doctors won't come. The boy hid his face in the pillow. Danny nodded. They figure it's just another junkie throwing a windang for a shot. But your case is legit. Maybe if I went to the hospital and explained things, I guess that wouldn't be so good. Danny trailed off. Suddenly he put out his thin, dirty hand and touched the boy's shoulder. "I'm sorry, kid. You wait. I'll fix you up." He went back to his room and got the dropper and returned to the boy's room. "Roll up your sleeve, kid." The boy fumbled his coat sleeve with a weak hand. "That's okay. I'll get it." Danny undid the shirt button at the wrist and pushed the shirt and coat up, barring a thin brown forearm. Danny hesitated, looking at the dropper. Sweat ran down his nose. The boy was looking up at him. Danny shoved the needle in the boy's forearm and watched the liquid drain into the flesh. He straightened up. The boy's face began to relax. He sat up and smiled. "Say, that stuff really works," he said. "You a doctor, mister?" "No, kid." The boy lay down, stretching. "I feel real sleepy. Didn't sleep all last night." His eyes were closing. Danny walked across the room and pulled the shade down. He went back to his room and closed the door without locking it. He sat on the bed, looking at the empty dropper. It was getting dark outside. Danny's body ached for junk, but it was a dull ache now, dull and hopeless. Suddenly a warm flood pulsed through his veins and broke in his head like 1,000 golden speedballs. "For Christ's sake," Danny thought, "I must have scored for the immaculate fix." The vegetable serenity of junk settled in his tissues. His face went slack and peaceful, and his head fell forward. Danny the car wiper was on the nod.
You guys just scored for the immaculate hit, too. That's an H to the C classic in and of itself. I think I've played that every Christmas show that I've ever been a part of, I believe.
Yeah, that sounds about right to me.
But we've got another special H to the C classic we're going to close with, but we're getting to the end, so I got to make sure I get my plugs in first.
Wow.
Yeah.
That went fast.
It's 9:54.
Jeez.
I know. The lightning's fast. We used to do a two-hour show.
So yeah.
An hour breezes by.
It certainly does.
But you can listen to this show if you're not listening to it live. It's every Monday, 9 to 10 Atlantic, localfm.ca, 107.3 FM. It eventually makes its way out of johnforward.com or htothec.podbean.com, because I forgot to stop paying for that. And you can come see me do comedy. My next show will be January 6th, I believe, whatever the first Friday is, at O'Leary's for No Jokes Bar Deluxe. Ken Bolton's going to be on that show. Mark Splood, the Reverend Brian Giles, and James Hovey's going to headline that one. And then whatever the third Saturday in January is, I believe it's the 21st, we'll be back for No Jokes Barred at the R Bar that just passed this weekend. But since I've got my pal Ryan here, we've got to get into it. Should we just do it, or how much should we explain it? We've got 5 minutes in total.
H
to the C used to be more of a music program, and as part of the music, we dabbled in remixes.
We should also say that back then, the collection of
CDs
here at the station was far less modern. So there was a lot of, like, old, just wacky stuff that you never have seen before in your life.
Yeah, so we went into the local FM vaults and pulled something out from 1992. What's the album?
We're going to listen to Happy Man. The album's called Born to Entertain.
Well, that's good. I think we used to talk about, you can look up the album cover, but there's something weird on the front. What's on the cover?
The cover is, I can't tell if it's him, like, literally can't tell if it's him or a doll that he's put, like, a Groucho, and not, like, a good quality Groucho
mustache. I see it now. When I first looked at it, I thought the mustache was, like, a weird mouth.
It's like a really cheap rubber mustache and glass. It kind of looks like those really bad old Halloween masks almost.
Yeah, and most importantly, it allows us to get in our Canadian content for this episode. So we remix it with a song you may recognize from days of past. This is a, there's a sample. It's the Scat Man.
Even you rotten millennials that get Colonel Tucker shut down must recognize the Scat Man.
Yeah, so one of the greatest songs of all time. Do we usually start with the other song and then fade in the Scat Man, or do we start with Scat Man?
We start with the other song. Everybody already knows Scat Man.
Okay. All right, well, let's... what track did you pick? What 10. Was number 10?
10. It's going to be My Nails Turn Blue.
All right, let's hear this. This is going to be an interesting mix. All right, I gotta
find
the
lyrics are kind of like heavy, so it actually could be good.
All right, let's play with the levels.
I'm a scat man.
Not really.
Let's hear just Happy Man.
Is that what? Number what? 11? 10?
10.
What? This is number 10.
Yeah, but let's just hear Happy. Like, turn Scat Man all the way down. Now, turn Scatman all the way up and Happy Man all the way down. Now it's getting even blend again. No, it doesn't work. Should we try another track?
Yeah.
Good time. Let's go with... let's go with the opening track once, Turning right. Blind.
Yeah.
We know who you are, Scat Man.
Sort of.
Little bit.
Song hasn't really kicked in yet.
No.
It's a different tempo. Wait.
Ooh, I like this.
It's kind of working.
Yep. Oh, yeah!
We found the rhythm. We found it.
If Happy Man would shut his mouth, if he was just instrumental, it would be perfect.
It's kind of falling apart.
Yeah.
Let's try another one.
Okay. Just go random, and I'll tell you what the title is after you do.
Number three.
Tears Falling.
Sort of.
No.
Well, I don't know if this is gonna work.
Well, hey, I mean, that's the...
It's an experiment.
That's all right, the roll of the dice,
more.
Right?
We've got like 30 seconds left. All right. Number four.
Okay, this is Spring Will Call.
The intros are okay. Turn up the Scat Man a little.
No. No. One out of four is not good, but listen, that's sometimes how this game goes. I actually like that now.
Yeah?